Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
Another Wednesday. Here we are again. Today, we're discussing the soul, mind, and body connection, and of course, conducting psychic readings for our callers. Welcome, everybody, to the queue. We will be getting to your call shortly. We typically take calls, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, we typically take calls at about 15 to 20 minutes after the show begins, because the first portion of the show is instructional. And before we get to that, I'd like to invite our listeners and callers to follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio, also to join us on Facebook and Twitter. There's a Neil Baker Psychic account, also Neil and Kristen Baker. You will reach me, by the way, everyone, if you contact us via that the online sites that we belong to, because Neil does not use the internet. If you'd like to speak with him directly, 562-596-7818 is the number, and our listener line, 914-338-0164. I feel like I'm talking like really fast.
You are talking.
Gosh. Well, I'm trying to pack this in because we got a little bit of a late start. You know, before we start, Neil, I want to say something. You know, sometimes we talk about current events on the show, and there's been some controversy over Target and their bathrooms, the bathroom situation. So I guess now Target is opening all of their restrooms to anyone who chooses to use them, whether they're transgender or male or female. They're all open season. I just wanted to make a statement because as a female and as somebody who is actually very liberal and I support gay marriage and equal rights for everyone, I, you know, personally do not support men coming into the woman's bathroom when there are multiple stalls. I think it's a safety issue and a privacy issue for women, and I think it's terrible that Target's doing that. So I encourage all of you to boycott the businesses that are putting women's and children's safety at risk, because I really believe that this is a safety risk. And, you know, a lot of the people that are in support of it are calling people like myself ignorant and conservative and so on and so forth. And so this is a statement coming from someone who is not ignorant. I'm not a conservative. But, you know, I definitely think that women have a right to their own multi-stall bathroom. I'm all for unisex single stalls. I mean, that's not a big deal, but I don't think women should have to be, or children should have to be subject to males in the bathroom. What do you think, Neil?
Why? Suppose I agree with you. You know, maybe we need three bathrooms. You know, one for
right.
You know, and let the establishment flip the bill. You know, I mean, I think there's going to be plenty of lawsuits, because if somebody gets attacked or something, the store's responsible, I would assume. But
right, I think a men's, a woman's, and maybe a couple of single stall unisex bathrooms. I mean, I have no problem with a unisex bathroom and bathroom that a man uses, but
well,
so long as he's not in there with me.
The situation with a public restroom is it's a setting for many people to sort of congregate at the sinks. I mean, a woman doesn't have full privacy and can feel totally comfortable, because there's going to be men lingering around, and what are they going to be going to?
Putting urinals in the woman?
No. You know, I think it's kind of a ridiculous premise, and I don't think it's – I think we take this matter of equal rights way too far. I mean, I think there's got to be a limit somewhere. It's common sense, so that's where I stand on it, too.
Yeah, I agree. More to say on this, regarding women and equal rights, but I think we need to move on to our discussion before we get to our callers. There are a lot of you in the queue. Again, we're going to be getting to your call shortly, but we're going to be discussing the soul, mind, and body connection and whether the soul, mind, and body are interdependent on one another. Well, they're not always interdependent if you're not connected to your third eye, the mind of the soul versus the mind of the body.
You know, it's sort of in one walking package because, I mean, we're talking about the body itself is the most visible of the packages, the physiological, chemical, bone structure, muscle, organ, tissue, brain, if you will, which includes the mind. That's one total unit and it's the most visible and accessible to us. When we get into more metaphysical or esoteric elements and we talk about the soul or the spirit, and I guess certain portions of the mind, because the mind is sort of in between the body and the soul or the spirit, and it's not something we can easily ascertain. You can't take your mind out. You can alter it, and you can impose therapy, but basically they're three distinct elements in one energy, and they are sort of independent of one another, although the body is the most formerly it's the energy that's going to be destroyed. It's going to go first. The soul, the spirit can be corrupted, and so can the body, but the body dies. So we have to get into this idea that within the body there is something lingering within us or residing within us that is eternal, if we believe that, and cannot be destroyed. So the soul and the spirit are somewhat separate from the body in that they don't really need the body. They're in, sort of encased in the body, but they don't really need the body. So we have to look at what constitutes body energy, food, shelter, things like that. Those are the so-called religious connections to the body. What feeds the body? And those physical things feed the body. And then you get into more feelings like love and attention and nurturing and things like that, which is still part of the body energy. Now, all of this still connects to the soul and the spirit because the soul and the spirit are somewhat nourished by the body and vice versa. So there is if you believe this, there is somewhat of a symbiotic relationship between the three, but there's still three distinct things. Our minds are resting on this energy, this chemical, physiological energy of the body. Our minds rest on that. And as long as that's the connection, well, there is a strong sense, because if you're starving to death, your mind's going to go. Or if you're being deprived of water or shelter, your mind starts to go. So the mind is resting on this energy. It's very codependent. The spirit is probably the least destructible element of the energy, because you can destroy the body, but you can't necessarily, how do you destroy the spirit? You can break a spirit down, but it's hard to really say you destroyed a spirit, because the spirit is forever lasting. So there is a three-way connection to that. And I suppose that we could look at it that way, but first of all, you have to define the physicality of the body and divinity of the soul and spirit. They're two different elements, and they exist in two different planes.
So the body and the spirit can be in conflict, or they can be in support of one another, depending on how the mind is interacting in that mix.
Oh, yeah, because the body can deny the spirit. Not every body has to believe in, not every, quote, body has to believe in a spirit and soul, and it still exists. A spirit and a soul, on the other hand, has to sort of, while there's consciousness involved, believe in the body because, I mean, the body is the most immediate energy of life. So denial doesn't necessarily, the body doesn't necessarily need the soul and the spirit to survive. So we have people who believe in science or atheists or existentialists or whatever it may be, but it's not dependent. The body is not dependent on the soul and the spirit as far as survival goes, as far as immediate breath goes. So then we talk about immediate breath, physical breath, and spiritual breath. And why do we need things like spirit and religion in order to survive? What is it about those parts of the Trinity, if you will, that the dynamic threesome, mind, body, and soul, why do we need it? What is it in our consciousness? What's in our frontal lobe that entails that we are with some sense of passion or faith, need that kind of energy in order to make a connection between the mind, body, and soul? That's one of the questions we need to ask in order to transcend the physical conditions of our existence. And so when we look at those things, you know, we have to define what feeds us during the day. Is it the physicality of our planet? You know, what pleasures we derive from food or entertainment or anything that man or woman has invented that provides for us a physical bridge to existence? Or are we defined by things like that are beyond the earth, you know, where the monks and the hermits are involved in separating from the earth, from the planet?
So it's a fine line, becoming overly involved in the planet, so that the spirit starts to get negated and you're too much in the body, and of course that's going to lead to a return to the planet. But striking a balance, because of course there are pleasures of the earth that we all enjoy and goals that we set for ourselves and have to achieve to fulfill all the chakra systems. I mean, you know,
well, we have to ingest nourishment. And we get it from the planet. We get it from food and water and air and things like that. And then we get other esoteric nourishment from pleasures that we have, hobbies and friendships and things like that, family. Those are forms of nourishment. But and they're important, but they're all very earthly. They can touch our spirit and our soul, but our spirit and our soul don't really need those things in order to survive. What seems to be more apparent in the field of the soul or the spirit, the mind needs intellectual stimulation, knowledge. The soul needs mystical stimulation, spirit stimulation.
Well, it's interesting to ponder what forces are attempting to keep humanity away from a higher energy and programmed essentially in this world that we live in.
Well, that depends on how you define what is a higher energy. A higher energy can be...
Well, I'm talking about... Well, you know what I'm saying. Let's not get into semantics here.
Well, actually, I mean...
We're talking about connecting to the spirit and divorcing ourselves from the body and the planetary desires that we have. We're talking about getting away from desire. So we're assuming that a higher energy or a spirit energy is going to be more about cosmic consciousness than, you know, what we're going to attain on the planet. So what I'm asking is, you know, what forces are keeping us programmed in this consumption process and desire?
Well, deviation from the spirit. I mean, the moment we desire the earth and the things of the earth, we're sort of deviating from the spirit, because the spirit is really not connected to any tangible thing on the planet. So we are diverted. Our attention is diverted away from the spirit as soon as we open our eyes and look at the world and look at the things that we pursue or we desire or we want or we need. Those are the things that take us away from the essence of spirit, because the essence of spirit is something that is not tangible on the earth. There's nothing here that's been created that the spirit really needs. So as we become distracted from the spirit and we move away from the spirit, we become more engrossed in the earthly inventions, the planet inventions and the people inventions, then we get further and further away from the total mind, body, soul connection. So the ultimate question is, can they all live together in happiness? I think they can.
It's a possibility.
I'm not saying that you have to eliminate one from the other. There is a
balance,
spiritual balance. Yes. So to balance the energy of mind, body, and spirit is the best pleasurable and attainable accent of existence you can have. So you do appreciate the world, you do appreciate the things in the world, but you balance that with a sheer intensity of thought towards spirit and soul and mind.
Okay, let's get to some callers and we can continue this on Friday, Neil. 303 is our first. And
hello?
Yeah. Good morning, 303. Who's
this? Hi, how are you?
Fine. Thanks. How are you?
I'm good. What do you need from me? My name and birthday?
Yes. Please. Sorry. I should have let you know that I needed that. Yeah. Name and birthday.
My name is Tessa, T-E-S-S-A. And my birthday is 5392.
5382. Is this Tessa from that we've talked to? Yes, Petra Tessa.
Yes. Oh my God.
You had your name wrong for so long. Hi.
Hi.
And you're in Colorado, right?
Yeah. Yes, I am. Yeah.
28101. Okay, go ahead, Tessa.
Well, it's actually interesting your topic today because I've been kind of exploring some reading on kind of connecting like my lower brain with my higher intelligence, I guess. And I was just wondering if you like have any like messages from my guides or anything like on anything that I need to be doing or practicing at this time to kind of evolve spiritually.
Well, good for you for exploring that. That's great to hear.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, you know, when we talk about lower brain and higher brain, they're both vastly interesting aspects of the psyche because your lower brains can still be involved in interesting topics, you know, the earth, of the planet, and investigating mm-hmm. that and looking at that raw energy of who we are and where we've come from, how we've evolved into the beings that we are and where that's come from. From the hunter-gatherer aspect, I don't know how deep you want to go into this in terms of the origin of humankind, but in those lower brain aspects, we also have a certain sense of spirituality, Tessa, because before there was all these inventions, it was basically man in relation and woman in relation to nature. And there was still in the most ancient caves an idea of mysticism and a belief of a creator and how we formulated our myths and our stories and those kinds of things. So, you know, I value the primitive energy of our existence. And excuse me for the phone ringing. And when we look at that, and since you're asking this question, and then we go into the higher element of the brain, of the mind, of the soul, we start to look at the energies of what is beyond the earth, what is beyond our myths and the things of the planet that gives us pleasure, whatever it may be, movies, books, sports, cooking, gardening, doesn't matter. When you get into the higher element, you're trying to understand what is the content of the spirit and what is that spirit going to need in order to move forward and transcend the karma of our particular lifetime, our lifetimes. And so you're asking that question, and maybe you're in the realm of getting into that zone because, after all, I mean, you're 33 years old right now, which is in and of itself a very mystical age. In some respects, religiously speaking, it's an age of completion. It's when you start to transcend into the elements via the Christ consciousness. So
that's the age that Christ was when he died.
Oh, really?
Supposedly. Yeah. Supposedly.
Oh, interesting.
And you know, maybe that you're that's important to you. Maybe it isn't.
Plus, but 3-3.
Yes,
Three is a mystical number as well as 7. Those are two mystical numbers in the number system.
And 3 is the, you know, the energy, the pyramid.
Trinity.
The Trinity. There's so many mystical things, and when you have 3, you have a form, a triangle. You just don't have a line. 2 points produce a line. 3 points produce unless you have a curvature of the line, but 3 points produce an angle, not just a right angle, but now you have a complete energy. You can have a pyramid. You can have, so there's this element, and we have the pyramid, we have the element of the third eye. So now we've got the third eye aspect and getting deeper into the aspect of exploring something beyond the mind. And if your energy's into that, you have to realize too that your fire number and your birth date is 3, which means that there's a mystical element in the day that you're born. And in that regard, your 1982 becomes really becomes a 2, but that becomes the progression of analyzing yourself as you continuously rebirth in this lifetime towards a mystical plane. So now, you know, we're kind of getting into deeper things, but that's what our topic's about. We're not here to talk about, you know, your favorite recipe or something. We're here to talk about the search of the soul and the spirit.
Maybe in a few minutes.
Where it may go. So for you, Tessa, it could go into writing. It can go into art of some form. You know, and the spiritual aspect of art can be the art of horseback riding, the spirit of sports, the spirit of homemaking. There's a certain element.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
In any field that we look into.
Did you have it? Did you want to say something, Tessa?
Oh, no. Go ahead,
Neil. She did. I thought she might want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, we both
I
did.
I mean, I don't know if this is addressing, you know, we're creating a broad canvas to your.
No, it's actually, actually makes a lot of sense because I kind of went through a kind of traumatic experience recently that I feel like kind of transformed me a little bit and pushed me to kind of another level. So you mean it makes sense with like the 33 and kind of.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, Tessa, since you're responding to my words, to investigate and explore deeper into knowledge and reading and history and, you know, just dive into it intellectually speaking, and take your soul and spirit with you.
Okay, Tessa. Well, we appreciate your call.
Right.
Nice to hear from you.
Okay,
it's been a while. Thanks
all
for
right.
checking in.
Bye.
Okay, take care.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. All right, 805. Good morning, 805.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Who's this?
Good morning. I'm so happy to be joining you this morning. I kind of got it last minute.
Oh, we're happy to have you here, too.
Great. My name is Cheryl, and my birthday is 7-7-66.
7-7.
Fire horse.
interesting number, 7-7-66. Cheryl, with a C?
Yeah, C-H-E-R-Y-L.
And where are you calling from, Cheryl?
I'm like out of the suburbs of Los Angeles, so I'm in Ventura.
Oh, okay, you're in the US. We're in Southern California also.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah. 36-9, right? Is that what you got?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's your question?
Well, it's really weird. I'm kind of diving into the astrology part of it. I'm finding that, you know, the rising sign and the sun sign and the moon sign, all of that matters. But what I recently,
well, you
like
know,
a couple...
I just wanted to... Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I recently like got into Buddha like 3 months ago, and it's like just, it's opened up like a lot of different doors. I'm like, just diving into everything at the same time with this big movement. But the planets, the astrology is what's really grabbing me, you know. The
Well, you know, I don't want to disappoint you, but we don't really, I mean, astrology is, of course, a part of the narrative that we do on the show, but this is more of a numerology. So we're going to get more into the numbers of your birthday than the planets, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, I love it all.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the mysticism of the stars and the planet and the solar system and our arrangement of our soul connected to that vast universe is interesting. It's educational. So that's taken into account.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's part of the process of everything. It's part of the wholeness of existence and the holiness of existence, including Buddha. So when we get into that consciousness and we get in deeper into that element, we also can look at who you are and why you've come back to this planet again. Now, your master number is 9, which is considered the eternal number. 9 is the eternal number because it keeps multiplying into itself again, 27, 36, 45, 54. Any number added to 9 becomes a number it was added to. 9 and 2 is 11, 1 and 1 is 2. 9 and 3 is 12, 1 and 2 is 3.
Add it all together.
Yeah.
Do all the combinations for the show today, Neil.
But what I'm getting about you is is the essence of, you know, forgive me for being cliche here, but Mother Goddess. I don't know why I'm going there with you, but there's a, you know, Gaia, the element of the earth is part of the process, I think, of maturing and rebirthing. So women give birth, they become pregnant, they carry the seed, they carry the consciousness within the consciousness. But that doesn't mean to say that we don't carry Earth and the planet and creation and pre-creation and our souls. So that's somewhere locked deep in the recesses of our brain, in that deep essence of the brain. Now, the information you're trying to obtain, we basically call it the third eye, because the information, it can receive, get to our frontal brain, and we can retrieve our back brain and come to information that is both prehistory and in regard to the intellectual history of our consciousness. But then we have to get into the aspect of what happened in the cosmic plane. What is the astral realm about? What brought the planets here? Why are they arranged in the order they are? Why do we have the months that we do? Why are there 12 months, but yet there's 9 months to birth? There's basically 30 days, 31 days in a month, 7 days in a week. What is this separation and what is this classification? So as you move into this element and you're trying to explore Buddha consciousness and you're trying to explore the essence of energy and who you are and why you are here, you have to start to first look at the origin of your own existence, which I believe is centered in the third eye, in the pineal gland, in the element of what carries the whole universe within your head, where all the cosmic consciousness of the universe is stored. So you have to go inward into your journey. I mean, outward is fine. Looking at the planets is fine and trying to analyze a personality trait or whatever you're trying to do from it. But to go inward into the origin of who you are and the essence of what God is, I think is maybe one of the journeys that you're going to be attempting, is my feeling. And so I'm giving you the advice that to go in there internally and to understand your male-female aspects and to find the wholeness of yourself as a human being, you're going to start to touch into the universal sense of creation itself. I think every human being, I mean, this is what we're striving to do, aside from, you know, the diversions, the Republicans, the Democrats, what's your favorite food? What movie did you see? I mean, the real esoteric questions is, who are we? Why are we here? And what is our life aside from the planet? Where is our soul going? Where did it come from? So those are the things that I would suggest that you look into, Cheryl, because I think, you know, in coming back as a 9, you've been here, you've traveled to the planet 8 times. This is your 9th trip, at least. Why are you coming back? There's a certain sense of spirituality that you have in terms of your 2 sevens, which means that you've come back to confront spirituality, and you come back to confront spirituality through the usage of your third eye, which is your 6th chakra, which is in your ear. And so those two elements, you've come back to unionize your third eye to spirituality. Now, how you take that journey is totally creative, and the flowing energy of who you are will help to get you there. But you have to look at this, that sense of fire and water within yourself to help you along on your journey.
Right. Yeah, there's, I try to figure out which way to go. So I'm just exploring all of it from, you know, channeling to the solar system to through meditation, I think is the best. Clearing the mind, I think, has done more for me than anything. And that's what I'm trying to master at this point, is calming down and listening and staying in the moment. That's
clearing your mind is the best place to get to the element of nothingness, which is really everything. So when you clear your mind, you're clearing your mind of diversion, and you're getting to the sense of the absolute nothingness of God, which is really what is God before there was form, before there was shape. And to get to that element is where you're really going when you clear your mind. So that clearance provides a landscape through which you can build upon without a bigotry, prejudice, interests, desire. And that's, I think, where you're going. So, you know, sound the silence there.
It directly relates to what we talked about earlier on the show. So I don't know if Cheryl heard the beginning, but you may want to go back and listen in the archives, because your question's really on point today for the conversation.
Yeah, I got in at the target part, which I was like, yeah, target needs to not do that. Anyways.
Oh, but we discussed thereafter. Yeah.
Yeah. So great. I'm excited to be a part of this today, and I hope I can share it. I have a couple pages on Facebook, you know, Lightworker pages and that, and 5D Planet and Ascension and that kind of thing. So I'm building it, but every time you send something out, I'll send it out, because I'm just really active on there. So.
Oh, that's great. You know, please feel free to share our show. What's your pages?
Actually, I changed it because it was Lightworkers of America, because I did that, you know, a while back, but I changed it. It's kind of a long word. It's Lightworkers and Healers. Then it's / Ascension and then 5D Planet, because I believe we're moving into this, you know, 5D consciousness, where, you know, out of ego, that's kind of a lot of what I'm, you know, the direction that I'm going in. And mm-hmm. a lot of people are talking about that. So, yeah, and every time you have something, if you put it on there, that would be great.
We'll
put it on there.
Yeah, either way. And I don't know, are we in that group? We're in so many that it's difficult to keep track of all the
names. And so many people are making them. But, you know, the admin for, like, the Lightworkers group, by the way, they grew from 77,000 people in 6 months. They're, like, up to 120,000. It just tells you how many people are waking up and the entire movement of what's going on right now. So I'll get it over to that group. If it goes to my page, I put it on the big pages. So,
okay, you could forward me the links, too, so I can make sure that we're – or joined, or you can add me, whatever.
Right. Yeah, I did. I'm like, how do I do the add feature? But I haven't done that yet. But it gets to enough people, and that's usually what I do. I just want to share so other people can get out there and, you know.
Yeah, we appreciate
find their way. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for finding us, Cheryl.
Well, thanks for the show.
You're welcome. Call us again. Okay.
Thank you. You have a good day.
You too. And if Cheryl wants more conversation, 562-596-7818 is the number. Okay, 4530 is our next caller. Hello, 530. Who's this?
Tanya.
Tanya?
Yes.
Hi, Tanya.
Hi.
Tanya, what's your birth date?
4/19/75.
Oh gosh, my pencil just broke. 4/19/75. As I was writing your birth date down, and you're calling from California, Northern California?
Actually, I'm outside of Denver right now.
Oh, you are? Okay, but you have a 530, mm-hmm. which is...
Yeah, Mount Shasta.
Yeah. Okay, what's your question? She's 3692, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same as my last caller.
Right, nine. I'm listening to you talk about the numerology and stuff as everyone else. I was actually calling in to see if you picked up anything about this move that I'm planning back to Southern California, and the place that I'm looking at renting, but I'm happy to hear about the numerology too.
Well, it all fits into the conversation, so I think we can address both.
Well, you know, Tanya, you're the same number as our former caller, Cheryl. You're both a 36. I forgot to ask Tanya what was happening to her.
Tanya was happening to you at the age of 36?
Yeah. When you were 36, I was going to ask this to Cheryl too, but when you were 36, Tanya, what was your major change?
So that would have been 5 years ago. I guess I was in Mount Shasta. I was kind of a little lost. I was kind of homeless, and really going through a lot of kind of dark night of the soul was what was going on then. So
it's just interesting that she's asking about a move, and that's what was going on at that age.
Yeah. Well, here's the mystical part.
Well, I think every couple of years. So.
Well, yeah, but still, it's pertaining to the whole journey here, and the fact that was going on significantly in your life at the age of 36, you know, is pertinent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In terms of
here's,
the move.
Here's what's mystical about your life right now. Your first three numbers of your birth date add up to 14, 4, 1, and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are 41 years old, and that's the inverted 14. Not only that, Tanya, but your first two numbers are 4 and 1. So that mm-hmm. code of 4 and 1 in your first two numbers now equate to your age. The third number, 9, in your birth date, happens to be your master number. So you are going through an immense, intense change of life. Even though 41 is not a multiple of 9, 45 will be, which will be in 4 years from now, what you're walking into is a karmic code of your birth date, which means 41, your age, 9, your master number. So prior to being 45, you are entering a journey that you're revisiting karma, and you're in Denver now about Mount Shasta, which was an element you were talking about when you were 36, approximately four mm-hmm. or 5 years ago, which again is the accumulation of your 4 and 1. And about the time zone from now that you'll be when you're 45, which will be 9 times 5.
But I think, no, Tanya, you're considering moving back to Southern California?
To Los Angeles. Yeah, the Los Angeles area. Actually thinking about next week. I think I found a place to rent yesterday. But then in the middle of the night, I woke up with this just sort of, I was all excited, and then I was sort of maybe feeling a little bit of doubt and dread, and I'm just, I don't know.
Well, you know, the doubt and the dread, what's happening is that you're moving forward into your life while you're still confronting karma. So in moving back to Los Angeles, it's like you're moving forward, but you're also coming back to face a certain element of karma that has to be wrapped up. Mm-hmm. I think you should move back to LA because I think you have some karma to resolve here. And it's not far mm-hmm. from, I mean, certainly it's closer to Mount Shasta than Denver is. Do you have a job awaiting you?
I am wanting to open my own healing practice, and I just feel like I will be more embraced there than I am here. If you look up what I do, the first website that comes up is Quack Medicine, so I'll be termed as less of a quack in California than I am in Denver.
Specifically, what do you do? What type of healing work?
I'm a nutrition and health coach. I'm kind of an empathic healer, but I look at live blood under a microscope.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's vastly interesting.
Nutritional live blood analysis.
I thought you studied the medicine of ducks. I mean,
why quack?
All our friends are ducks. But no, I think that's fascinating. Who cares if they call you a quack? The energy of what you're doing, I mean, the blood energy, the chemistry and the essence of blood, is, I think, is very important. So we have to look at it in all angles. And oxygen and breath and meditation is what feeds our blood, what feeds our heart, mm-hmm. what feeds our the flow of our energy. And blood is the essence of the body. So to me, you're in a vastly fascinating field, and I think that you should come to LA and explore this deeper.
Yeah, and you're not all. I mean, there's not always a recommendation to return to a karmic location. A lot mm-hmm. of times, if someone's asking about a move back to some place they'd lived before, if there's karma there, you'll often recommend avoiding it. So, yeah. I mean, this is, I think, sound advice.
Yeah, I think you need to come. You need to come here. You need to come to LA, and you need to find a certain sense of or essence here. There's something here karmically that's calling you back. So your blood may feel it. But I think blood is a great there's a great duality in blood. We need it, and if we shed blood, we die. So there's something about the encasement of blood that's very important. And I think that energy, that blood energy, is something, there's a karmic molecule in there that you're sensing to explore. And it may be that you might be looking at some of the darkness of that exploration and some of the dread. But if that eliminates karma, and that gives you a clear sense of blood, in terms of its esoteric meaning, then I think LA is going to help you supply that energy.
Do you have, before we move on to the next caller, Tanya, do you have a website you want to share? I don't know if you have a business. You may want to be private, but we want to give you that opportunity.
I think I'll hold off on that till
okay,
I get
no
a
problem.
Storefront and everything. Okay. I don't even have a place to live yet down there yet. So,
okay. Well, I didn't know.
But
there
I
was,
expect
you know,
that will all fall into place and I'll be able to get rent an office space and all that. So,
okay.
But thank you. I appreciate the offer.
You're welcome. Anything else you want to
yeah.
say?
Look for two names, two common names, Robert and Judy or Julie. Look for those two names. They're just small players, but look for those two names as you approach LA.
All right.
And look for them just synchronistic.
As she's saying, look for them as just synchronistic.
Yeah. 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 Okay. I mean, just listen to the names to come up because they're signs.
It's
of,
a path. It's a sign
validation.
Of being on the right path, essentially.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much,
thank
Tanya.
You.
Okay. Take care.
Right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I find it really interesting looking at the blood, obviously, and evaluating the health in a more, a less Western medical way than
sure. I mean, that's what people want to go to that kind of quote doctor, if you will, that mystical element and discover
naturopath.
Things, but,
I guess
but
is what
explore,
it is.
Don't ignore your regular doctors, but sure, there's icing on the cake too.
Okay, icing. 469. Who's next? Good morning.
Ooh, good day. Good day. Good day. How are you? Sound good
hi.
Over there.
Who's this?
This is Adele.
Oh, hi, Adele.
Hello.
And, hi. Where are you calling from?
Texas.
I'm sorry. That cut out.
Texas.
So, oh, Texas. I didn't hear it.
Yeah,
but
Texas. Texas.
Okay, Adele. And your birth date?
9/1/1765.
Hmm. Okay. 28/10/1. 38. 38/10/1. 38/11/2. What did I do? I miscalculated your birth date. What's your
That's
question,
okay.
Adele?
My question is, I want to know what's going on around my energy.
Yes, 38/11/2. Okay. What is going on around your energy? Well, you're a 38/11/2. How old is she?
50. What's going
yeah.
on?
Turning 51 this year. Right?
You know what's interesting? I'm getting from you, Adele, I'm getting an energy, a residual energy of a hard, unfulfilled relationship that is compelling. It's a compelling, pressing factor in your energy field of a relationship that was unresolved. Maybe you've walked away from it, but it was not resolved. Does that ring a bell anywhere?
Shoot, probably all of them, but yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're a 38-11 too, and I don't want to confine existence by a cliched number definition.
Right.
But you have a difficult time on the earth plane with relationship, and the accumulation of your relationships, plural, as you've stated, has been complicated and probably due to a number of past relationships. So there's a general energy. What happens is we feel we've moved away from a relationship, whether it's been resolved or not. But what happens is the energy of that relationship leaves our body, but is encaptured in our astral field. So it's hanging over our head, smog. And the best way that I could describe this is when I look, if I'm looking at an aerial shot of you, I see smog in your aura, in your atmosphere.
Wow, and
that fallout may be, at times it may feel suffocating. It may give you a cloudiness of mind and purpose, a sort of ugh feeling that, I'm not feeling comfortable. Something's wrong. It's like when you breathe and you have smog in your lungs.
Yeah, you are so on point with this, I tell you. And wow, this is real. This is most definitely real. It's right here in my chest area. It's only when I'm moving. It's like a sore, but not to the touch. And I don't know what that is. And it's been like this the last couple of days, but I know it's not a threat of a heart attack or anything. It's something that really in the spirit realm, you're so right about that. Last week I had finished a 9-day fast with no food and no water. I didn't even know I was going to fast until the 5th day. And I was ushered in there by my ancestors, by source and everything else. Because like I said, I didn't even know what to do with food if I saw it. And I had this abundance of energy that just came from nowhere. I didn't have a craving for food or water. And it's like now it seems like I feel like, it is a smothering kind of feeling. It's a funky feeling, and I don't know what that is.
Well, you know, it's like smog. You don't really know you have it until you really breathe deep. But then you know, boy, when you're breathing shallow. So when you're living shallow, you don't really know. But when you're trying to live deeper, then you start to feel it. And so just like when I move, there's certain elements of my energy. You're going to your ancestors, you know, a 9-day fast, which is your month of nine. Eternal number. So you're discovering that there's something in your higher astral field that's causing fallout, and your body's slowly receiving it. So you've got to open up your astral field and get it out. You've got to visualize that there's an opening in your astral field. Instead of it having fallout, it like gets sucked out into space. And then you close up your astral field. And that could be some form of clearance. Now, of course, you're doing it in a strong meditative fashion, and you're doing it with a sense of sheer brilliance of consciousness combined with the rhythmic attitude of your breath. And and that would restore you back to a level of equilibrium.
Okay, Adele. Okay. Well, hopefully that's helpful. I know they're short readings.
Oh,
but,
yeah, it did. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If you
want to
speak further, 562-596-7818. And of course, you're always welcome to call the show again. All the best to you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One last caller. And this is from a private number. Who's this?
Hi. This is Jane from Canada. How are you doing?
Oh, hi, Jane. Fine, thanks. Jane, how are you? Jane, your birth date again? I know we've spoken with you before.
It's 18th of June, 70.
70?
That's right.
Eight, nine. Okay, Jane, what's your question?
I want to know what someone's thoughts are about me or impression of me is. I feel like he's been watching and observing me. His date of birth is the 20th of January, 73.
Okay. Interesting. He's a 23.5 and you're a 32.5. Did you get that, Neil? Is that the right, did I add that up right? 3, 13, 23, yeah.
23, 5.
Yeah, so you guys are, he's your inverted, you guys are the same master number, but the karmic numbers are inverted, 32 you and 23 him.
Okay.
Kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The birthdays on top of each other here.
What's his feelings about me? What's his feelings
like the
about
years me? Interchange?
Well, there's some trouble. His feelings about you are composed of a troubled, kind of a troubled contradiction. Because I think there's part of him that is wrong to you, and then there's a parts of him that he's afraid of. His real fear is internal, Jane.
Okay.
The internal aspects of his fear involved commitment, issues of commitment, and stability of commitment, and the responsibility of commitment. So I think these are deeper fears that he may have. There might be, in his part of the world, a divorce or a separation that prompted him to be impacted by this sense of division between the sexes, if you will, in terms of the higher aspect of commitment. He can be easily diverted by other women, which would provide a steady excuse for him to not perform a commitment. That could be one element of his far-ranging plan of making excuses. But here's a nutshell. There's an interest. There's a vital connection between the two of you that involves something between the souls. And when you get into that area and you're saying, oh my God, then does that mean that our souls connected somewhere in some other time and place and we knew each other before? Yes. That's what that means.
Yes.
It's essential.
Yeah,
what can you do?
So they ask you about the past-life connection with us.
Sorry, you cut out, Jane.
That's what I was going to ask you, is if there was some kind of past-life connection between us.
Yeah, there
was.
There's
a past-life connection.
There's a past-life connection. But that doesn't, it's common, yeah.
Common.
And it's not a firm platform to stand on if you think you're supposed to be with somebody. It just means we have a connection, but the soul connection doesn't always level itself with our physical sensations in terms of mutual, respectable, symbiotic relationship. And so we get into the element that there's other forms of karma involving both of you, which confuse and diffuse. They extend the energy in such a way that the initial union between the two of you has become diluted now because of other extended forms of karma. There is a journey outside of the United States that I'm picking up on. Have either you, or to your knowledge, has he ever been outside the United States?
Yeah, he's traveled many places.
Yeah.
Many places, she says.
So, you know, I'm already picking up on the train of thought that takes me to investigate the issues of his heart, which, you're going to be affected by. I do think he has troubled relationship problems. So it's not uncommon for him to be visited upon with trouble in relationship. So we don't have a lot of time to get into the depth of this. We're just scratching the surface, but there is a connection between the two of you, and there's something to do with wildlife. I don't know what it is, but it's wildlife, wild animals, wildlife.
Okay.
I'm sure. but there's something involved in that. I don't know if it's natural energy, if there's wildlife around you, if I don't know what it is, but there's something to do with wildlife with him.
Okay.
So okay.
Okay. Well, thank you. I was just going to ask a quick question. If there was because just feelings, there's kind of mixed thoughts in a way. I don't know if there's any kind of, if he's, are there any kind of resentment or anger towards me?
Essentially, yes. But you see, his molecules, his mind, his soul connect to anger, resentment, discord.
Okay.
Those elements are there, but that doesn't mean that underneath that there's an emotional attachment. So there's an emotional attachment, and then we get into the idea of awareness, of forgiveness, insight. Those kinds of things are not in the picture yet, but they're ultimately standing on the pathway.
Okay. And that's, we've got a wrap. We've got 30 seconds left, Jane. So, okay, thanks for your call. All right, we are back on the air on Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Maybe I'll talk a little slower on that episode. Less coffee. Okay, thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.